The nights are growing longer and there's a chill in the air, and Halloween is upon us. And this is the time of year when many film lovers add some horror movies to their cinema diet. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. As this is Halloween, we turn our attention to recommendations for horror films, old and new, with a trio of recent On Film contributors. Gene Creel, Kyle Alvarado, and Oscar Garza have been revolving guests on this show discussing new releases. Today they help us survey some great scary movies. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a long time since we had a full house in the studio. Great to have all three of you here together in one place. Mm-hmm. Gene, I want to start with you. You know, what is it about movies that we like to be frightened by them?
Well, everyone might have their own opinion as to why or what frightens them. But, you know, this discussion goes all the way back to Aristotle and talking about catharsis and Greek tragedy. Even then, they realized that we harbored passions and emotions that were not healthy for us. And very often, the outlet turned out to be something, usually a tragedy, could be comedy as well. Whether it was catharsis, meaning purging, or just a clarification. It was about balance and getting your balance restored in your life. So perhaps we, more often, I think, unconsciously are doing that. Wes Craven, you got to quote Wes, you know,
right,
may he rest in peace, commented once that films don't create fear, they release it. But so I don't know.
It's a relief valve for some.
More or less, right. Now, some people may argue that it's just sheer entertainment, and there is that too. But perhaps it's because it really operates on a deeper level.
It seems to me, too, it's a safe space for us to be. You know, there's a part of our brain that knows we're still in a movie theater, we're still in our home, we're not in the movie. So we can allow ourselves to be frightened and freaked out, if we will, by a certain movie and still know that when it's over, it's over.
Yeah. But the really good ones stick with you, though.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll be thinking about
them.
Oh,
yeah.
The goosebumps go on. It also, I think, more broadly, when you back up from it, you know, cinema, I think a lot of us who are into film, some of our earliest memories were of the fantastical or the horrific. There's something so palpable about the power of film that has always touched on the horrific. The fact that watching a two-dimensional image can make your heart race and make you not want to go home or close all the doors in your closet or you know, worry about what's around the corner is pretty astounding from an art point of view.
Right. I think one of my earliest fears actually came from The Wizard of Oz, which, of course, no one would consider.
It's like a horror film.
But for me, it was actually more, rather than the witches, it was Tornado. And I think, too, that also brings in the idea that it's the human element that I think we find much more frightening than The Mummy or The Vampire. And I wonder about the more recent spate of films, which tend to be more the violence and the horror of mankind, as opposed to monsters. And
a lot of articles on that is about whether audiences are commiserating with the victim or the victimizer. And that would be that is a scary thought, that there may be people in audiences now that are actually putting themselves in the place of the attacker rather than the attacked. Let's start, though, with the supernatural. You all have put together a pretty wide-ranging list of recommended titles, and way more than we can get to on the show, so listeners can keep a pencil handy, but they can also email the show here at ktp.org, and we'll send you an expanded list. But what have you got in the supernatural range of recommended films, Oscar?
Well, I have Devil's Backbone from Guillermo del Toro.
Yep.
And this is one that I rewatched Monday, and it just... We're talking about the human element. That is completely... It's a ghost story, and it's sort of like a companion piece to his Pan's Labyrinth. But it somehow manages to be completely dramatic and utterly horrific at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, it's World War II from the Spanish point of view side. And it just shows, again, the horrors of war, and it shows the horrors of mankind, just like, which is what Guillermo del Toro loves to do. He identifies with monsters he's always had.
For listeners who love his later work, they should go back and look at some of his early titles.
Yeah.
And we could probably add to this Kronos as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, well, my pick was A Serpent in the Rainbow, which is directed by Wes Craven. And what I like about it is almost the exact opposite of what Del Toro did, which is where he completely blurs the lines between reality and fantasy. The crux of the movie is Bill Pullman, ethnobotanist, if I remember correctly, is sent to Haiti to investigate a super anesthetic, which is basically people, you know, raising from the dead. And the whole movie is him just descending into this madness. And, you know, when he runs around at the end saying, "Don't bury me, I'm not dead," which is not a spoiler at all. it's terrifying.
And Gene, you've got a great classic here.
Oh, The Haunting. And of course, this is the original, based on the novel by Shirley Jackson, The Haunting of Hill House. Starring Julie Harris, Claire Bloom. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful cast, and it is primarily a female cast, which I think is interesting as well. And another note is it's a black and white film.
Right.
And this is another area that's for discussion is black and white versus color in horror and the effectiveness of each. But The Haunting, of course, is about a young woman meeting a group of people at a house reputed to be haunted, and the idea is it's a scientific team to determine if, in fact, and if so, to record as much as possible about the house for research. The main character, Julie Harris, has a lot of baggage, which she brings to the house and almost immediately begins to feel an affinity to the house, which develops into a horrific nightmare for all involved.
Another ghost story, but what's unique about it and so effectively done is that you never see any ghosts. There's no special effects in this film. There's just sounds and camera angles and that great black and white directed by Robert Wise.
Right. You see doorknobs turning.
Mm-hmm. creaking floors.
Creaking and
banging.
The pressure on the door.
Yeah.
You see a
slight
pressure.
Yeah.
It's what you don't see that is far more.
So hopefully a title that listeners who are this time of year looking for some new scares will go and check these films out. One of the tried and true, though, for 100 years or more, is the zombie werewolf vampire film, the original Creature Features. And I know you've each put together a long list of recommended titles that may be off the beaten path for some, aren't the traditional way we look at those. What do you got, Gene?
Well, top of my list is Only Lovers Left Alive. Some people will argue this is not a horror vampire film at all. It's a love story. It's a cautionary tale about our destruction of the planet and of our own bodies. It's written and directed by Jim Jarmusch, which should tell you right away it's not going to be an ordinary vampire story. It concerns a couple who've been lovers for centuries, and now in the 21st century they find themselves seeing their way of life coming to an end. They no longer feel comfortable to go hunting because of the pollution of individuals through drugs, alcohol, pollution, all the toxicity of our society that we see.
And they're just tired.
And they are.
They're tired of us, basically.
True. It becomes very much. And one of the elements of the film, which I enjoyed too, was the interaction between Tilda Swinton and Tom Hiddleston, who were wonderful as the couple, with the interaction with humans. But another element of the film that I just found so enthralling was both the music and the cinematography. That opening scene to me is just stunning, of Tilda Swinton, the music, the
so for people who aren't looking for a lot of blood and gore, this is a great choice, and only 2 years old.
2013.
Really a very contemporary film.
So for me, when it comes to zombies and werewolves and all that stuff, I prefer zombies. I love zombies. I'm an unabashed zombie fan. And for me, I will take both the Dawn of the Dead, the original, and the remake.
Nice.
I know a lot of people did not like the remake, but I thought it was a clever twist on it, you know, having zombies run. But, you know, it was also shot well and, you know, for all intents and purposes, it performed pretty well and shows that Zack Snyder was sort of an emerging talent at the time. And I think he's proven that he's still a good director.
I have a special place for the first one because I saw it so many times growing up. And in midnight movies particularly, they love to show that. And I think just the concept of people hiding out in a mall where the world has gone to pot outside, but they sort of put together all their consumer dreams, you know, in this mall and live there. Oscar, what do you have?
I have a contemporary film as well, and
since it was zombies, werewolves, and vampires, why not have one that has all of them, which is, of course, The Cabin in the Woods. Mm. And this is sort of basically the, for anyone who hasn't seen it, is five strangers go out to a cabin in the woods.
Classic setup.
But let's just say something is not normal in it and something happens. Without spoiling anything, without giving anything away, it's not what you expect. And it's directed by Drew Goddard, who was a writer in for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and co-written by Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon from The Avengers.
Yeah, and excellently written. A very interesting twist on all of our nightmares.
Yeah.
Right. I find that I go to fewer horror, scary films now. My tastes are in other areas. But this was one, after reading reviews, I thought, I'm going to check this out. And I was very much pleased and surprised. And I would tout this to my film classes simply because of the twists. You just don't see it coming.
Yeah, a lot of meta things going on there,
for
too.
Sure.
And still very frightening, even though it's commenting on itself and on the genre itself. Obviously, segueing from zombies, werewolves, and vampires, those are the classic creatures we think of. But there's been so many other films involving monsters and creatures of different ilk. So, Kyle, what do you have on your list?
Well, for classic movies, you can't go wrong with the universal classic horror films. And I always felt that The Invisible Man gets shunned in favor of Frankenstein and Dracula. And that was the one that I naturally gravitate towards. It's a man, Dr. Jack Griffin, a fantastic Claude Rains, turns himself invisible accidentally, and he just slowly goes insane. And I think the special effects in that film are arguably more powerful than the other Universal films.
And Claude Rains, I think that was his screen debut, and we only see him in the last few moments of the film because he is the Invisible Man. And as you say, the special effects are amazing, directed by the great James Whale, who also did Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein.
I'm going to go a little different and say Possession, which is an Andrzej Sulawski film, and it stars Sam Neill and Isabella Gianni. And let's just say the monsters in it might be human as well. It's a breakup movie, but it somehow combines drama and monster movies as well.
It's perhaps the most uncategorizable film on all of our lists.
Yeah, it could fit all of them.
It's like nothing you've really ever seen.
Yeah.
Possession from 1981. Gene, what are you thinking on creatures or classic or otherwise?
Well, for classic, I guess this also crosses over into monster, and that's Curse of the Demon. When I saw this film in the theater, which I'm embarrassed to say because it dates me terribly.
I'm sure it was on a rerun because it came out in 58, so you probably saw it on some sort of re-release, I'm sure.
I think you're right, Chuck. Curse of the Demon, again, a black and white film, and yet I think this is largely part of its effectiveness, and also the fact that you don't really see the demon until almost the end of the film. There's a lot of sound effects which set up the eeriness, the tension, the suspense. Dana Andrews is a psychologist who's called to a village where they've been having strange happenings, and of course he's very skeptical in his scientific way, much to his chagrin, and he learns differently. Directed by Jacques Tourneur, just classic.
Cat People, another great early horror film from 42, RKO.
Right.
Great pick. And one that's you can show the whole family because it came out in 58,
exactly.
And so it's safe for all.
Right.
Kyle, I wanted to ask you, it seems like there's a recent trend in films to go less gory, less bloody. Maybe a decade ago we had the whole welling up of what they became known as the torture porn film, where it's very, very horrific. Now, a lot of the films that are coming out that are getting so high marks are, atmospheric, suspenseful, thoughtful. I'm thinking we all loved It Follows that came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Is that just the pendulum swinging, or do you think audiences are actually craving these kinds of films?
I think it's the pendulum swinging. I think, they've had the torture porn, they've had the blood and the guts and that stuff, and now it's swinging back into more of an atmospheric type of film. It came out a long time ago, but I think The Others, that is, I wouldn't consider that a horror movie, but it's terrifying in the fact that the director just creates this creepy atmosphere.
Yeah.
Also think of the Daniel Radcliffe film recently, Woman in Black.
Yeah.
Another great ghost story. So you think in a maybe another decade we'll be back to the blood and guts?
I'm hoping there'll be a new wave of slasher comes back in a big way.
Yes, so do I.
So every 20 years, there's a new wave of directors that cut their teeth on those, and they come full circle.
Well, for me, as long as the plot or the storyline is really strong, you know, I can put up with more gore than one might think. An example for me is Let the Right One In.
Oh, yes.
The original. Is it Swedish?
Yes.
That's what I thought. Yeah. The remake isn't bad. I mean, the American
that's
remake.
That's a great choice for people to look at as a foreign title.
Right. Let the Right One In. And it does have some seriously gory images. But the storyline and the characters, the children, and the whole buildup of the story as you begin to – as the layers are revealed as to what's actually going on and the relationship between the two, the young vampire girl and the young boy, it's just a fascinating look at that genre.
Incredibly well directed too, and something about the combination of snow and blood that goes so well together.
It is.
And the long dark nights.
And the cold just comes off in waves. And
listening to you talk about that film and Only Lovers Left Alive, it's amazing when you think certain genres like vampires, we've just seen every iteration we could possibly see of the vampire film, and then you get a film like Let the Right One In, or like Only Lovers Left Alive, or I also recommend from last year, A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night.
Oh, yeah.
An Iranian film in Farsi, shot in L.A., like a spaghetti western in black and white. I mean, it's just
wonderful.
Fascinating. And extremely well done. People are just constantly reinventing these films. You know, we've talked about some really fantastic films here that certainly I would recommend to just about anybody listening, but there's also a category of guilty pleasures where, you know, they may not be the greatest of films, but for whatever reason, they resonate with each of us. Kyle, do you have any guilty pleasures you want to mention?
Too many to list. Just to rattle
top
them
of your
off
bucket.
Really quickly, it would be The Strangers, Halloween 3, any of the Nightmare on Elm Street sequels, and
heavy on the Wes Craven.
Heavy
then.
On the Wes Craven.
Anything Wes Craven did.
I'm going to go with Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, Friday the 13th, Part 4 and 6. And I just
and
lost
11.
I just lost a whole bunch of credibility. And Final Destination. I'm somehow a fan of that franchise, which is a clever twist on the slasher.
Which says a lot about you.
Yeah, somehow.
Gene, anything guilty in there?
Oh, yes, yes. I'm going to go with Bucket of Blood. 1959, again, a black and white film, but it's about a young social outcast, miscast fellow who develops a hobby of sculpting humans, which turn out to be actually dead bodies. But he just amazes his friends and with the lifelike sculptures. It's campy, and that's an issue. That's an element of horror film that I think we all enjoy.
Yeah.
Is the camp, the spoof, and lends itself
the wink.
It lends itself very well to it. But I think with all the Wes Craven talk, I just wanted to add one more quote from Wes, which I think fits this whole program. And he says, "If I were interested in reality, I'd be making documentaries."
Oh, that's great.
Excellent. Well, I'd have to pick we haven't talked about TV movies, but the early 70s were a great time for horror on television. And there's this great little 1972 film called Gargoyles that I return to from time to time that had this amazing cast, Cornel Wilde, and a very young Scott Glenn and Bernie Casey, and partially shot in Carlsbad Caverns.
Nice.
Really cheap, quick, probably made it in a week. made for TV film called Gargoyles that you can still find out there, I think, on Netflix or elsewhere, but that's a guilty pleasure. Well, it's always great to talk to you three. I know we could have gone on for hours on this subject. Happy Halloween to you all.
Thank you.
Too, happy Halloween.
I've been discussing an eclectic range of films designed to make your skin crawl or your heart race with three contributors to On Film: Gene Creel, Kyle Alvarado, and Oscar Garza. For an expanded list of recommended horror titles, email us through the station's website at ktep.org. A final program note, the Sunset Film Society will present the 1953 horror film The House of Wax today at the International Museum of Art at 1211 Montana. The film stars Vincent Price and will screen at 2 p.m. Admission is free. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.